Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Hour number one of the G-Bag Nation. Look at this. We're already at draft week, and it's coming up Thursday night. Our path to the draft coverage is brought to you by Pluckers, and welcome in, General, at your service. Jeff Cavanaugh, Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Draft week really got started Saturday with the Draft 101, and a great job by Jeff and Brian and Dalton. For anybody that missed it, you can watch that at 105throughthefan.com. But, guys, that was amazing broadcasting.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to get a couple hours where you can just totally nerd out with things that maybe some of the fan base doesn't care about going that deep in the draft. But for those of you who do, you got 2 hours of, you know, three guys who have watched a couple hundred of these guys and try to give you some education, a little information.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it was a lot of fun for me. I've really enjoyed seeing guys like Jeff and Dalton grow in this business and be those guys that can take this even further. So when the crusties move aside and let these guys go at it, because the draft is a very interesting process. It gives you hope. It gives you hope for your team. You know, General, we talk about our show was about team building and things like that. And the draft is one of those ways. It's just part of it, but it's the best way to kind of get your team going in the right direction. So hopefully when we talk about it this week, on air, everybody will like pay attention, because I think we have a pretty good handle what might be happening here.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, really what we're going to talk a lot about here all week long, and the build up into Thursday and then Friday as well, and the build up to rounds 2 and 3. Stephen Jones will join us Friday afternoon. So, big opportunity for the Cowboys and a chance really to correct the momentum of the franchise. You know, they were heading up, they were making the playoffs in impressive fashion every other year. Then back-to-back seasons with an aging offensive line, defense didn't get any better, and they can't make the playoffs all of a sudden. So, good draft last year, another good draft. You stack back-to-back drafts, and now I think the arrow would be pointing back up. So what happens Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, massively important for, you know, how this team looks compared to its competitors here over the next 5 years.
Yeah, and you'd look at last year, they had a grand total of 7 picks. And out of those 7 picks, it looks like you got a star receiver. It looks like you got at least a capable starting corner. It looks like you might have a starting center. That's not bad. That's pretty darn good. And This year you get 10 of them. So Maybe do even more damage than that, and you're building something.
Okay, do we have extra need for another linebacker now with this news of Sean Lee retiring? And we'll have his retirement statement here coming up in about 20 minutes before the G-Bag of the Day.
No, because we've been building this team as if he doesn't exist for a few years. And obligatory 20-second Sean Lee thing. I think Sean Lee is, like, he's just one of those guys that his body wouldn't let him. And if it would have, I think that was a Hall of Famer. He still had a good career. He had a good career, but, I mean, the one time he was able to stay healthy and be a part of a good team, he was a first-team All-Pro in 2016. Like, what a player, what a dude. Wish his body would have let him do it, and it wouldn't. But I don't think that you're in a hurry. Like, to me, your linebacker stuff is more about how they feel about Vander Esch and Jalen Smith than, because Sean Lee was always just kind of in the background. Like, hey, let me know. Let me know if one of your guys is hurt or if you need me. And I'll go in there. So not a big deal to me, but might want to replace the other guys.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, though, and Jeff, you brought up something interesting in the pre-show meeting, though, when you're talking about Parsons. And if you were to draft a linebacker like Parsons, what would that do to Leighton Vander Esch's, you know, the extension? And I know Stephen Jones was asked about that today, haven't got to that. You know, I honestly think that he was fibbing with you guys a little bit.
Of course.
I think he understands that, but if you talk to enough people in that organization, they'll tell you that linebacker is a need for them. They'll tell you that. They're not hiding around that anymore. As much as they might want to like Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, though, it's a real need for them. And so for me, I'm making a plan, if as I look at Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, that linebacker will be an early take for this football team, whether it's at 10, 44, 75. I think they're going to draft a linebacker in one of those three picks.
I like to hear that. And are you suggesting they've already made a decision, you think, on Vander Esch's fifth year?
I want to believe that they have. Okay. I want to believe that they have.
Okay. I guess I would be on the side of it where it's like, I'll let you know on, let's see, Thursday, after Friday.
Yeah.
I'll let you know if I think they're going to pick up his fifth year option, based on if in the first 2 days of the draft that one of those picks is a linebacker. Mm-hmm. And it may bring into play. I think that's, to me, that's the fascinating part of this Cowboys draft that we're getting ready for, is because, Brian, you say that about linebacker, mm-hmm. that you feel like they're going to fire at one fairly early.
I do.
I'm pretty darn sure they're going to fire at a corner pretty early.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conversation that they might be firing at a safety. Mm-hmm. Pretty early.
I agree with that too.
And then they could use an offensive lineman maybe, or an edge rusher, tackle. A defensive tackle. So yeah. It's like there's, you got 10 picks, but at the same time, they're obviously not all going to be hits. And the earlier the pick is, the more likely it's going to hit. So which one of those plays out? Is it corner, safety, and linebacker are your first three? Is there too good a player available at another position that plan doesn't get to happen because you're like, holy cow, look at this. We got to take this guy.
Yeah.
But I think LVE's fifth-year option dollars are in the balance.
I agree, if not you.
Thursday, Friday.
Yep. For sure.
Well, hopefully they don't know yet, you know, what positions they're going to take. But if you did get through those first four picks through the first 3 days, right, they have two third-rounders.
Right.
And you got a linebacker, a safety, and a corner and something else. I mean, that would be really exciting going into those OTAs and training camp, and what kind of an impact could these guys have in bringing this defense somewhere, you know, closer to the top 10.
Yeah, I'm going to lead something in Krusty's corner today at 2:40. I'm going to lead with some information I don't think will make Cowboy fans too happy.
Oh,
about maybe a player that they're looking at right now. So at 2:40, we'll talk about
okay.
that.
So now that you've officially, it sounds like, adopted the name Krusty's Corner, mm-hmm. which I appreciate.
I appreciate you doing. I owe you a steak dinner for that one. That was a good one.
I'm trying to think what would like a sound effect be to play for Krusty's Corner.
Is it Krusty the guy?
Yeah,
in the,
Krusty the Clown in The Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly.
There's maybe get a laugh going.
What's the guy is in SpongeBob? Is there a Krusty?
I don't know.
I'm asking. I don't know
SpongeBob,
either.
SpongeBob.
Well, you know everything.
You're looking dead in the eyes of a 36-year-old without kids.
I'm just Krusty's Crab or something
Krusty's
like that.
Krusty's Crab.
Krusty's Crab.
Yeah,
there
that's,
you go.
Okay. Man.
You make those burgers.
Thanks,
those
I can always count on you, Lucius.
Krabby Patties.
Yeah. Krabby Patties. There we go.
Got a workshop.
All right.
Don't ever forget it, Broadus.
Man, Lucius, I do appreciate you.
Krusty's Krabs. Wait,
can
with
I
Brian.
Rely on you for anything other like than evaluating that. Players? What can I do?
Yeah, some Ranger stuff.
Oh, that's right. In the box.
Yeah, getting in the box. Yeah, stuff like that.
Speaking of the box score, the Mavericks have won three in a row. It's another one of our top stories here in the world of sports. Every day at 2 o'clock right here in the nation.
I hate the way they did it, though. Beating the Lakers twice in a row without KP. I was sitting there like, okay, when we get on the air, like it'll be like, man, that was sweet that Dwight Powell had a good game and Luka figured out the kind of the doubles in the press pretty mm-hmm. quick.
Come back
like,
win.
But I feel like Gavin's going to be like, yep, because Porzingis wasn't there.
Well, you know, going into tonight's game, you do have not only a honeymoon game, but a revenge honeymoon game,
they're
and that's a lock
tonight.
Right there.
They are going to lose tonight.
They're going to lose tonight.
Because I feel like they're going to rest everyone. I saw their injury report. There's six people on it, including Luka and KP. Get ready. This is going to be a rest night, and they're going to lose.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if KP doesn't play. Luka's not going to play, though?
We'll
you're
see.
In the middle of it.
Let me get the official declarations that I saw this morning, but here we go. Their questionable list for tonight.
Yeah.
Luka, Dodo, Kleba, Porzingis, Redick, Richardson. All six are questionable.
That's, well, you know, I guess they have a plan and, you know, they're trying to keep people healthy. But now is the time where you put them in because you've been resting them.
You passed Portland. You got to wait until you fall back
you
behind.
You can't lose to Sacramento again.
Oh,
8
watch.
Days ago,
oh,
it was
watch.
One of the most embarrassing losses of the decade.
Get ready.
It's about to happen.
It's about to happen.
It's
again.
Nut cutting time. You're damn right. You're about to fall back into the play-in.
The
That's
scrubs,
what's about to happen.
The Scrubs want to go back at Sacramento. They're ready. They're biting at the chip here. They're like, hey, we got these guys this time. Let's go.
You know, to your point, I do think the team's playing a little bit more free and easy without Porzingis. Your upside is higher with Porzingis on the court, though. But I think in the immediate aftermath of an injury, there's such a relief that guys go out and play with extra energy, and you can play over 100% for a while. That's what I call a honeymoon phase. Plus, you got revenge tonight. I do like the Mavs' chances of winning if they bring enough bodies to the contest.
Yeah, I tell you what, that Trey Burke Josh Green combination might light him up tonight.
Yeah. What's old Tyrell Terry up to? He ready to throw up some threes?
He's ready to gun some threes up. You know, with that 0.5 scoring percentage.
Hell
he's got.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get it.
We get a game and a half up for the sixth spot, and it's load management time. And you don't really care about avoiding the play-in game. You care about keeping your players healthy. This is like the Cowboys caring about winning and making money, right? The Mavs care about keeping Porzingis and Luka healthy, and making the actual playoffs is secondary to it.
Well, I think when you have a game where Dwight Powell's your leading scorer, what you do is that next game you sit everybody else down and you say, can he get 50? You know?
Yeah.
It's been nice from Dwight Powell, hasn't it? 25 points, 9 boards, 11 to 12 shooting. He gives you that pick and roll option, and I don't think it was really there for Rick Carlisle to go to because of the Achilles, you know, and working his way back in. That verticality, that quick burst and explosion, if that's coming into form here, that's a significant toolkit. That is quite a weapon.
I just thought of something. You'll like this.
All right.
This is a conspiracy theory for you. So keep in mind, this is not my theory.
What is this team all about,
Check
by the way?
Check this out. Check this out. Luka and KP aren't friends, right? KP's out, and Luka goes to Powell. And he's like, hey, you know, KP's the pick and roll guy. And it goes up and down. Tonight, it's me and you.
Yeah, get ready.
And we're going to show them that you are better than Porzingis.
I'm going drinking with Donnie after the game, man. Let's do this. I'm going to be showing him highlights on the smartphone all night
long. See what me and Dwight can do? This is it.
I like it, Jeff.
You know what, though? I think that's actually fact. Yeah. I don't think that's conspiracy at all.
Let's show him how the pick and roll really works. I don't need that big goofy dude. Yeah. Me and you, baby. Go to the rack.
Dude, you're so much a better athlete than him. At least you could catch the ball and finish. I don't know what the other guy's doing.
I wouldn't be surprised if some sort of politics is going on there, you know, with the roster. We're all human. Mavs Moneyball has some great Dorian Finney-Smith numbers. He scored 21 in the comeback win. In the last five games, he's averaging 60%, shooting 60% on threes. His 21-point outburst, third game of scoring 20 or more in his last 11. This is Dodo. He scored 20 or more three times in the last 11. This is like after going anonymous on the score sheet for about a month. He's only scored 20-plus points two other times in his career. So over the last 10 games, he's more than doubled his number of 20-point games. And the Mavs are 4-1 when he reaches that mark. So feed Dodo and Dwight, apparently.
Dodo has heard that I've been trying to upgrade him, and he's trying to say, no. You think the Mavs only have two starting caliber guys in the starting lineup. What if there's three quality starters in the starting lineup?
I don't even know what to think about this team. I know I'm glad they're winning, but then Brunson, he looks like, well, I'm like, get rid of him now. I mean,
oh no.
But no, that's what I'm saying though. It's so strange to watch this team
and
play.
Timmy, now all of a sudden Timmy can't
shoot.
Yeah,
it's like guys, do you think you can hang your hat on? I always say that, but they just don't show up. And then it's the guy I think that's the jobber that all of a sudden, like, leads the team to victory, you know? And I'm like, okay, what is this team?
Well, that's the tough part. Is I was listening to Bassick earlier, and they were talking about their sports fights.
Yeah.
And obviously, Mike gets involved in a lot of them. And he's like, I wish, you know.
Saw it over the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I wish I would actually take the time. Because, like, when I say these guys are trash, obviously they're not. But the Mavericks have guys who are starters that should be bench players and whatnot.
He said 13 of them, Mike did.
Well, right. But what I'm saying is I think that's just the roller coaster you ride with the talent level that's on this roster. Is like, you can't get to a point where you think that Tim Hardaway is a given. You can't get to the point where you think that Jalen Brunson is a given or Dorian Finney-Smith is a given.
I did. That was my problem. Brunson, I thought, was a given.
Well, you look at the really good teams. Like, you run out the Suns starting lineup or the Utah starters when they have Mitchell.
I got a really smart basketball guy telling me Utah is not going to do anything in the playoffs. So.
And probably true. But what I'm saying is they have more guys that you can point at him and be like, that's what he's probably going to do for me tonight. I know what Chris Paul is going to do tonight. I know what Devin Booker is going to do tonight. I know what DeAndre Ayton is going to do tonight. With the Mavs, you mostly know what Luka is going to do tonight, and then we'll see.
That's pretty well said right there.
Yeah, you need
because I do I do watch those games, and I'm expecting like my 82-year-old dad sitting. He's like, "What do you think is going to happen tonight?" And I'm trying to explain, and then it's got to the point where I don't even explain anymore. I'm like, "Let's see what happens, Dad." But he goes, "Well, that Dodo, I mean, he what's he doing?" You know, and then he gets 21, and my dad goes, "Dad, you sound pretty foolish right now." And he goes, "Yeah, we do that on the radio all the time, sounding pretty foolish about these."
Don't
guys.
Make any declarative statements about any Mavs player not
at all.
Luka.
Not at
Don't
all.
Don't do it.
469, what's up, boys? Love you guys. Love the show. I'll be here all week looking forward to it. That's Chase from Terrell. All right, he's locking in for draft coverage.
Thank you, sir.
The Chiefs made the Super Bowl twice in a row with your discarded spare parts at linebacker. Maybe stop investing there. Of course, you're talking about Hitchens and Donovan Wilson. And they do have a hell of a safety in Honey Badger and some pretty good defensive linemen.
Pat Mahomes.
Point taken, though. I mean, it's the great offense. That's why I want him to draft a guard at 10. Plug him in there. You know,
The
Rams defense wasn't very good as well back in 99, 2000. Sometimes your offense is so good, you're just making teams one-dimensional and making them come back so much that you can have a crap defense.
And I think it would be a lot of fun to do our job, you know, get another offensive lineman or another offensive weapon and turn even the most ardent Dak supporter like myself, where it's like, okay, that's enough. If they don't win, I'm with you. That dude wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
I will tell you this, though. The fact that they hired Steve Spagnuolo as their defensive coordinator, that has got to be your hope if you're a Cowboy fan, that a coordinator switch will actually help your team be better.
Sean Lee's retirement letter next in the Nation. Welcome back, Nation. We got the G-Bag of the Day coming up in 8 minutes. We're 8 minutes from the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. Segment's brought to you by the Khan Academies, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels at 214-333-3333 or go online to truckwreck.com. Guy's killing me here on the fan text.
Oh, no. What are they doing? What'd you do?
Well, I was talking there in crosstalk about how goalies in hockey should not get exhausted by the third period.
I'm sure it's very tough.
Yeah, this guy's he's breaking it down for me. It's like a wall sit, you know, basically for a couple hours.
Well, I mean, not when it's on the other end. Stand
right.
Up.
Yeah, you can rest a little bit. Yeah. There's enough wall sitting, you know.
Plus, they're not standing on feet; they're standing on skates, and to me, that just seems harder. But I don't know. For hockey players, it's probably easy.
You get your own water bottled.
I mean, the bit that the Stars are doing every time somebody reaches a milestone, where they take a picture and they don't wear pants, and the Stars account will tweet it out. Boy, these dudes got some quads.
They do.
They got quads. I told Amanda to make sure she unfollows the Stars account. I'm not trying to see her. Because they're just being there to jockstrap, and it's just like, ha-ha!
Yeah. All right. I can't believe them objectifying the male athlete like that. You know, it's really disappointing.
More pumping up the physique, you know.
Yeah.
Which is what I do when I look at ladies. I'm, you know,
exactly.
I'm like, man, look at that great physique. She must be healthy.
Very athletic.
Yeah.
469, best show on radio, and that's not just in Texas. Tolo salute. You know, you say that. I'm so passionate about the product that we do, and I'm proud and honored to broadcast to you. But I do want to say, you know, all hubris aside, Jeff and Brian and the draft coverage, they are going to slap upside your head starting Thursday night. It's incredible. It is the best radio draft coverage, period, right? Anywhere you could possibly go, any sport, right here, how Jeff and Brian cover the Cowboys in the NFL draft is flat out amazing, gentlemen.
And after Saturday, I think we'll go back to being humble people, but for now, I'm just going to tell you that I agree with you. You know, a lot of people will watch guys that are going to get picked in the first round and be like, all right, I know like 30 of these guys. Not a lot of them have run a draft before. Like, Brian is literally the best drafter of all time.
Yeah.
You got to run one.
Percentage-wise.
And got, three Pro Bowlers?
Four Pro Bowlers
in the one draft he ran?
Yeah.
We have literally the best drafter of all time who's still scouting these guys.
Real quick, I want to tell you one of my proudest moments, not of drafting, but working on the show with you guys. I had a coach from another team reach out to me and say, listen, I sit in my office while the draft's going on, and I don't listen to any other. I don't watch the TV. He goes, I found out about you guys, and I popped you up on the internet and follow along. So there's, like, guys from other teams, like coaches from other teams, that are sitting there hanging out waiting for the draft to go up, but they're listening to our broadcast, who's going to get selected and where everything's going, and then the commentary about the type of player that's going to these teams. We're really, I think, full service. You know, we'll talk about the Buccaneers picks. We'll talk
about your windshield while Brian fills up the gas.
Yeah, exactly. We're full service. It ain't all about the Cowboys, which we love the Cowboys, but it's a full service 3 days of the draft.
530, Facts General. Last year when I went to the draft party, I was upset. We were watching it on TV. We ended up muting it and listening to you guys while we watched on TV. Yeah, I'll take a little Bluetooth speaker and either hook it up to my phone with the Odyssey app, or if I have the Bluetooth speaker that allows me to have an FM tuner, I'll just set that right up there at the table when we're at draft parties. I don't want to miss it.
My favorite part of the draft is when it gets later, and I know for a lot of people there's less appeal because the names aren't the big names, but think about in the history of us doing this, when there's a guy on like day three that we like.
Especially if we're at the Star.
Right.
Will be at the Star for those days.
When they picked Anthony Brown, he was like the highest rated guy on our board in the sixth round. Well, guess what? He started for you for his whole contract.
Right.
When we liked Xavier Woods, guess what? He started for you for 4 years. We're going to find you players. And if they pick the right ones, we're going to be in good shape.
It's a lot of fun. Okay, retirement letter from Sean Lee. Some highlights. For 11 seasons, I was privileged to wear the Cowboys Star. We want to play forever, but today it's my time to walk away. To the Jones family, you treated me as one of your own since I arrived. You allowed me to shine and grow as a player in person. Thank you for your support, graciousness. To the coaches, your endless hours of work made me a better player and pushed me to places I didn't know I could go. I'll carry your lessons through the rest of my life. To my teammates, I love you like brothers. The bond of our shared sacrifice will last forever. I'll miss the brotherhood, but we'll cherish the memories from the locker room following all the big wins and tough losses. To the training staff, Lord knows you earned your money working with me.
Oh.
See, I thought I was going to have to editorialize to get something in there about the injuries, but Sean did it himself. That's good, Sean. Says, but I couldn't have made it through my injuries without you. Britt Brown, thank you for pushing me as far as you did. All right, look at that.
That's the first person that gets a name drop is the trainer.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah, Britt extended his career for sure.
To the fans, you lifted me up when I needed it most. I didn't want to let you down. If there's a great regret, it's that I never helped bring a championship back home because you deserve it so much. To my family, you've always been my foundation. I love and cherish all of you. I couldn't have done anything without your support. Mom and Dad, you showed me the right way, giving me every opportunity to succeed. And he goes in here, talks about his brother and sister. To the game of football, changed my life. Whenever I'm near a field, the smell brings me back to when I first started playing, pulling on a helmet, trying on those pads, and that perfect tackle. To think of the journey now, experiencing things I never thought possible with the men and women who make this game what it is, I'm beyond grateful. Thank you, Cowboys Nation. It has been my honor. Yeah, he was one of my favorite Cowboys. He always will be one of my favorite Cowboys, and I'll tell you why. As a media member, going in there trying to get something good from players can be tough. You know, you guys were just talking about Orlando Scandrick. Some of the players don't know what to do. Some have anxiety about it and shut down on you. Some want to do good, but they're too goofy. It's very rare that you get a player who's perfect, and his willingness and his ability to provide perspective and know what to say but not go too far. You know, I'm thinking of DeMarcus Ware, Travis Frederick, and Sean Lee might be the king. Because when you went to Sean Lee, it didn't matter who you were, he would educate you, you know, and that's what I always appreciated. I met him his rookie year. He was recovering, and he came out to a Father's Day event at the Star that we had here at the Fan, and he was just incredible with all of the fans immediately. Like, they would ask him a basic question, and he would sit there and talk for 5 minutes explaining defenses, you know, just all. He was an absolute treat. From, I think, a media and fan perspective, and anybody that interacted with him in public, I believe would agree. I don't think there's anybody that's had a bad experience with him.
Yeah, one of my great, a couple of real quick stories that I could about Sean. When I turned 50 years old, we were at Valley Ranch, Sean brought me my birthday cake with his number 50 jersey on. And he goes, hey, I heard it's somebody's birthday up here. And we were all gathered, and he had the candles lit and all that.
Oh, that
and
is
it
sweet.
Was, and he was like, he's like, hey, Brian, happy birthday. But he was full, you know, his Cowboy number 50 jersey on, all that was really cool. And then, like you said, General, we would fly home, and I'd be watching the game on my pad. And he would see me watching the game, and he would come from his seat and walk forward and like point stuff out, like during, like he would kneel
down.
That
was not me that screwed that up.
Seriously, he would be in the aisle and like the stewardesses were trying to get past him, the flight, you know, and he would sit there and he would explain, like, okay, this is what happened on this play.
Oh, that's crazy.
And he just always took the time to do those kind of things, trying to teach you a little bit more about football. One of the great all time guys to ever be around.
Yeah, you know, it's those kind of people, whatever the subject is, that just have a passion for talking about it. It's, you know, it makes it really a great experience. So congrats on an awesome career from Sean Lee. You know, I think Jeff said it earlier, it could have been so much more.
Yeah, you know what I just figured out listening to General do that real quick? That when I get my ashes spread all over the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, I want Gavin to read the message.
Read your final letter.
Yeah, the final letter.
Now, do you want a the compliment eulogy? Sandwich, or do you just want...
No, I want what he just did.
Okay.
He nice. Made it sound like it did. So, yeah, when the ashes are going all over the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, General, please read away.
100%. It's a done deal. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day, curated by Lucius Alexander. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
What's up, man? I'm feeling good. You know, how about you? How about y'all?
Good. Very relaxing weekend. You?
Yeah. Something like that. Sunday had a lot of work, but it wasn't like really work.
All right.
Working out there with the horse stalls and barns and stuff.
Oh, that's work. That.
It was back-breaking for sure. Work. I'm sore, but you know, you get to ride horses and everything, so.
Okay.
You know how I go.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it was. It was great, man. Can't wait to do it next weekend. The flight attendant from Friday.
Yeah.
Brought us things. He's a Southwest flight attendant.
I think it's Southwest, yeah.
I'm with you. I'm with you. He's got jokes. Check it out.
We don't like safety violations. That's why we are here to ensure your safety. So push that stuff all the way beneath the seat. Ladies, that does include your purses, pocketbooks, handbags, etc. All the way underneath. And that includes Gucci bags. We don't care if it's a Gucci bag. It still goes underneath the seat. Especially if it's a fake Gucci bag. We're going to know what's fake, too, because what happened was when we reach 5,000 feet, the G's going to be falling off. Handle going to be breaking. You're going to get to Philly with a Gucci bag. I'm just saying. Nevertheless, good morning and welcome aboard.
I love how he switches, bro.
Dude, that's good mic technique.
Yeah, I love how he
keeps
switches.
You engaged right there.
He sounds like comedian T.K. Kirkland, for those who know who T.K. Kirkland is. He sounds just like that guy to me.
Hey, man, I got to check out some T.K. Kirkland.
Oh, man, genius. He's a genius, dude.
Well, that is, I believe, two-time champ? Is that a two-time champ?
Yeah. Today would be three if he wins three. Let's go to Willie Washington. I don't really want to put this as a nominee. But for some reason, we thought this was so funny on Friday. I think we were a punchy. I don't know. Let's see if it's still funny. Right. This is Willie Washington, and this is what he's drinking on What You Drinking and What You Thinking on Friday.
Willie Washington in Fort Worth, Texas. You're on the fan right here, and what you drinking, Willie?
I'm over here sipping on a strawberry Fanta from Whataburger. What will be on the
I don't know why that was so damn funny to us.
I think it's just the way he said it, man.
Strawberry fennel for Whataburger.
He reached out to me on Twitter, and I answered back. Yeah. I said, man, we were all wanting one. I was. I was thinking, man, how cool would it be to have a strawberry Fanta? I haven't had a Fanta in forever, though. That's one of those.
I'm over here sipping on a strawberry Fanta from Whataburger.
Strawberry Fanta.
Strawberry Fanta.
Sounded nice.
Whataburger. Strawberry fennel for Whataburger.
There's a Whataburger going in right now on my exit when I head home.
There you
go. Boom right there. It's going to just be off. Bang.
Can I get you a Fanta?
Yeah. I appreciate, you know, you giving a good selection. Not quite Sonic selection there at Whataburger.
Strawberry.
A strawberry Fanta. Willie Washington.
We got a North Carolina commissioner. He was fired because he refused to call a black woman a doctor. Check this out.
We're here to approve the standards, and if Mrs. Rosario has something about one
it's
of those
Dr.
standards...
It's Dr. Rosario. Thank you, sir.
If Mrs. Rosario has something about...
Dr. Rosario.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. Your name says on here, Carrie Rosario. Hey, Carrie. Yes.
It's Dr. If Rosario.
If you got something...
Please, sir, call me as I would like to be called. That's how I'm identified.
It doesn't really matter. We're here.
It matters to me. It matters to me. And out of respect, I would like you to call me by the name that I'm asking you to call me by. Thank you.
Your screen says Carrie Rosario.
I'm verbalizing. My name is Dr. Carrie Rosario. And it really speaks very negatively of you as a commissioner to be disrespectful.
He got fired for that?
Yeah, he got fired.
Ring him up.
My mom was the same way. She had a doctor's theology, whatever that's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
spent a lot of money on this damn thing.
Yeah. You're going to call me doctor. I'm still paying for this.
If you got DR period in front of your name, you need to be called that.
Yeah.
No, man, don't be waiting, messing around with that.
My cousin's like a doctor in mathematics.
Still a doctor.
Very impressive.
Doctor.
Still a doctor. Dr. Wright. Dr. Rico Wright. He's going to let you know.
Still a doctor.
Yeah, my dad's a doctor of history.
Still a doctor.
I'm like...
It's a doctor.
It's a doctor.
Got a doctorate,
cuz.
Yeah, it's a PhD. Yeah, he's pretty proud of it, but he doesn't make people call him a doctor.
My mom was like, yeah.
Coward.
Your mom was a god doctor, huh?
Yeah, she's a god doctor, fam.
God doctor.
That's why I'm all deep, cuz. Because our friends just come over and have like these philosophical conversations and everything, and I would listen.
Yeah. Where it comes from?
Yeah, yeah. And then my dad's friends would come over and they would have conversations with whiskey and everything. Yeah. So I got a good mixture of both.
I'd be going over that side over there hanging out.
A good mixture of both, yeah.
Any other nominees before we vote, Luke?
Have you guys seen that IKEA employee who responds to dumb questions on TikTok?
No, but I like that.
All right, check this out. You'll hear some music in it. And then on TikTok, this is like rant music. Like when you start playing this music, it means you got something real to say. You know what I'm saying? Check it out.
Self a customer. You think I own this business? You think I own IKEA? I'm a part-time employee halfway through a two-week notice. I don't give a sh**. I know the sale ended last week, but can I still get a discount? Do you hear yourself? We can't go backwards. Time marches on. You want the sale from 15 years ago, too? When's it end, Diane? You want that price? You're going to have to go through the quantum realm with Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah.
You know how much money I spend here? More than you should. Meatballs ain't that good. Save your money. End my time. Doesn't matter how much you spend here. We don't thank our donors. This isn't PBS. Every time I come here, my order gets messed up. Then stop coming. Make my day. Every time you come here, your order's messed up. Sounds like you're making the mistake. Look inward. You're ordering the wrong s***.
Dude, I love this guy. IKEA employee on TikTok.
Yeah.
I love the music. I love the production. I love the bit. Man, employees complaining to each other about customers is such good comedy, right? And there he is, IKEA employee responding to dumb questions. Is it him? Is it Dr. Rosario? Is it Willie Washington? Or is it our two-time champ, the flight attendant, with the excellent mic technique? I'll go with IKEA employee, Lucius. How about you?
Flight attendants.
We're tied at one, Brian.
Willie Washington.
We're tied at one, Jeffrey.
IKEA guy. I love when the beat hits when he starts his
answer. Yeah, that's the rant music, man.
Yeah.
That's the rant music. I have some saved right here, but you know, you guys don't go on rants anymore. So I haven't pulled it out.
Hold on. Give me a second. Maybe.
Yeah, pause.
Coming up next, though, it's time for Krusty's Corner here with Broadus. Where are we headed?
I'll tell you what, General. Thank you for that. We're going to talk about some prospects that might not be selected in the first round, but should be. We'll do that next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. All right, it's time now for Krusty's Corner, and here's your guy, Brian Broadus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. I do love that Krusty's Corner, Jeff.
Yeah.
I really do. I appreciate you guys doing that. I teased something earlier about something that I heard that's not going to make Cowboy fans too happy. I don't think it's going to make Jeffrey very happy.
What happened?
Strong possibility your guys at 8, Carolina, they're in love with J.C. Horn.
Oh, jerks. Well, hopefully they trade down then.
Yeah.
Hopefully
they bail. They're talking about, there's a couple of things with Carolina right now. If they stand there and pick, it sounds like that they will take J.C. Horn. If they move back, well, all bets are off. We'll see what happens. We'll see if someone's coming up there for something, maybe one of those quarterbacks or whatever. But I was, before I went on the air today, I had someone call me and say, listen, and I actually got it confirmed a couple of different ways on that. I said, hey, I'm hearing about Carolina, and my guy's like, no. I'll say this, the Cowboys are aware of what's going on at Carolina at 8, too. They understand that because they're in the mix for this J.C.
We'll be okay. We're going to be okay. You know, it's a top 10 pick. No matter what scenario you draw up, something good is available for you at 10, but that is one of my favorite guys.
That gets me excited because could Surtain go to Denver at 9?
If that's good. Yeah, he absolutely could.
They could take Parsons. They could trade. They could take a quarterback. Denver's one of the wild cards, I think.
Yes.
That's chaos right there if both corners are gone, isn't it?
Fun chaos, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which offensive player are we taking, baby? Well, no, it's going to drive us to Micah Parsons, Gavin.
That very well, that's the problem you run into, General, is the linebacker thing that we were talking about earlier in the program, could it be that, like, well, hey, that we got the grade that's too high on, you know, we need defensive help. Do we want to extend Leighton Vander Esch? We'll see. But I think that that's the thing that would drive, if they lost both corners, I think they would take Micah Parsons.
Okay.
I do. But
well, you don't have to say that out loud, though, because that puts it into the universe.
I said it with a soft voice.
Yeah, but the whole universe is connected. And by you doing that, you're putting it into the universe.
Or,
and that's kind of messed
up. Or I could be really wrong.
Yeah.
I could be really wrong about that.
Well, the flip side of the Micah Parsons thing, where we pretend it's the worst thing ever, is that he could end up just living up to his potential and going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like, he's incredibly gifted.
Yeah.
I'm just not a linebacker in the top 10 kind of guy. It's not my thing.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But keep an eye on what is happening at Carolina. They are in love with J.C. Horn, the cornerback from South Carolina. We've talked about in the Cowboys room, there was a split with the coaches. And I mentioned this last Friday, too. Keep an eye on what's going on with the Diggs thing, because that situation might lead them to where the scouts are saying, listen, we need to get the most sure type player here. The guy that we don't, that has the less risk to him. You seeing that?
I get what you're saying. That, like, Patrick Surtain is considered an incredibly clean prospect. Like, everything about him.
Bingo.
Character.
Yes. Yeah.
No big weaknesses. Yeah. Like, just very safe.
Yeah.
But I think on a football field, I want J.C. Horn on my defense so bad.
Every day.
Because I think it's contagious.
Every day.
I think that sort of hyper-competitive, physical,
right.
Like, it makes other people play that way.
No, you're right about that player. You're right about that guy.
So Carolina, leave him alone.
Yep.
But, again, there's two sides to all of these. Carolina is the team that I kept thinking Northwestern offensive lineman Rashawn Slater.
Yeah.
Carolina. Perfect fit.
Yeah.
And if they take J.C. Horn, means they didn't take Slater. So no matter what happens, there's going to be a player or two at 10 that you go, oh, okay, that works.
Yeah.
We'll be okay here.
I agree with you on that. Okay, NFL.com, guys, did a story. Well, they actually had some of their analysts say they asked which prospect might not be selected in the first round but should be.
Okay.
Do you have anybody in mind you'd like to talk about first before I'll let you throw your first guy out there if you'd like to talk about somebody?
This morning on the draft show on DallasCowboys.com, I ended up drawing Baltimore. I got to make their pick at 27 and at 31.
Fun team to pick for?
I can draft
all the
for
good
Baltimore.
Players were there?
Yes. Ozzie Newsome and I, we're the same guy.
Oh, you love Ozzie.
And the two guys that I gave them were Boogie Basham from Wake Forest, who's a defensive end, because he plays like a Baltimore guy.
Sure.
And at 31, I gave him Nick Bolton, the Missouri linebacker, who is, quote, small and, quote, unathletic.
Yeah.
But he's a Baltimore guy. Like, he's a tone setter. He makes plays all over the place. He's super smart. So those would be a couple of candidates from me. Boogie Basham, Nick Bolton. And when I say those names as a Cowboy fan, what you can hear is those are guys I'd love at 44. If you can get them there, I like them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're outstanding. Both of them are outstanding players. I would love it. My dream scenario is Horn at 10 and Bolton at 44. That's my dream scenario. Okay, Mark Ross, who was a first-year scout with me in Philadelphia, they asked him about that, but he's now working the NFL Network. He said Melifonwu, the cornerback from
Syracuse.
He says, I believe the defensive backs have the deepest talent pool of any position in this draft. With around 10 starting quality prospects. Not all these players can go in the first round, so a chunk of worthy guys will fall to day two. He says Melifonwu is a gifted athlete with excellent press coverage skills. All right, now the reason I bring up Melifonwu here in this is if you do take an offensive player at, say you take an offensive player at 10.
Right.
That's the type of guy you're looking at, right? At corner?
Yeah.
Aren't you looking at a Melifonwu and those guys?
Yeah, and I agree with his assessment of the defensive back class. I think in this particular draft, I have 8 corners and like 4, 6, so 12 guys that I think are second-round guys, and Melifonwu is one of those. So if you don't get a corner at the top, it's not the end of the world, but you also need to know corners are a hot commodity.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a chance that at 44 – you have lost seven corners. It could happen, but there are a lot of good ones.
I've got them stacked in there.
Club sandwiches,
Club
baby.
Club sandwiches, Farley, Newsome, Samuel, Joseph, Stokes,
Ham,
Molden,
turkey, bacon,
Campbell, Robinson. My gosh. If you, hey, don't worry about it. If you pick an offensive player at 10, you'll get you a corner.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one? Joe Thomas, an offensive lineman. He says, Jeffrey and Gavin, Elijah Moore.
He's going in the first round.
You think so?
I think so. I think he's going to Green Bay.
But did you guys mock him today to Green Bay?
I believe we did. Elijah Moore, I think, is the fourth best receiver in this class. And to me, it's a no-doubter that he's the fourth. Like, everybody talks about Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Jamar Chase. I think Elijah Moore is number four because he's kind of Antonio Brown-like to me, where he's a he's so smooth, he's explosive, he's a really good route runner. He had massive production in the SEC at Ole Miss. Elijah Moore's good. I think he's going in the first round.
Okay, how about Charlie Casserly?
Oh, God. Justin Fields, fifth round.
No.
What's he doing? Lamar Jackson, tight end.
He's got Trevon Merrick.
Not going or going?
Going. First round.
He could. He's one of the guys that I guess I just don't see it. I don't see the same thing that a lot of people seem to see where he might be the top safety. He's like my fourth or fifth safety. I just don't see him the same as everybody else does.
See, the thing I bring him up is, would you consider him if you traded back if you were the Cowboys?
I would not.
Who is your trade back guy? Would it be the linebacker Davis? Could I interest you in Davis from Kentucky? If you were trading back, who would you trade back? I'll take you to 19. Let's say the football team came up.
I would be looking at USC offensive lineman Elijah Vera Tucker.
Okay.
He may be gone.
Okay.
Northwestern cornerback Greg Newsom.
Okay.
Is there anybody else? Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa at linebacker.
Why not? Yeah.
I think those are kind of the names I would be looking
at. See, everybody says Barmore and guys like that. I'm not interested in doing it for Barmore. Alabama defensive tackle.
Me neither.
So I think you need to stand in there and make a pick.
A 10?
Yeah.
Probably. Because no matter how this goes, if Carolina loves J.C. Horn, that's fine. If Patrick Sertan makes it, he's fine. If Rashawn Slater or Penei Sewell makes it to 10, that's fine. If Kyle Pitts makes it to 10, that's a party. I think there's all sorts of ways that somebody's going to be there that you really like. You're picking 10th.
I'll tell you what, I'm with you on that, though. General, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Brian. I'm ready for you guys to step in and start drafting with the Cowboys. You know, when Jeff says him and Ozzie Newsome are of like mind, do you agree with that, or do you think that's hyperbole?
I tell you what, I think Ozzie and Ozzie and I are friends. I used to sit with Ozzie at the Senior Bowl up in the press box. Ozzie would like Jeff. He would like Jeff.
Because we would just fist bump after every pick. We'd be like, the league screwed up again. Ozzie, let's get a good one.
Ozzie likes scouts that have opinions and aren't backing down.
Okay.
That's big for Ozzie.
We got Cowboys Twitter, and where are we on that fifth-year option story? It's next in the Nation.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.